We've come to an exciting text today.
Chapter 1 again of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. A Jewish publican, so he would have naturally been despised by his own countrymen, a collector of taxes, that God touched, that God called into his discipleship and apostleship and sent forth to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What an important and exciting message. The last 2 weeks we've talked about the lineage of Christ from David forward to Christ, for God swore unto him that his seed would sit upon the throne of Jacob forever. We come down today to the new part that we have not yet covered by text. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. That just excites me. We talk about the beauty of the day and nature and everything God created. That wondrous light that shines forth through the windows and through the sky. And consider what Matthew was preaching, and as you know and understand by the Bible, that the world was covered in darkness, the prince of the power of the air, and God's light was entering the world. The light that no man could stand in or bear or draw nigh unto. The light of God that drives away darkness. The light of God that was there on the first day before God ever created the sun, the moon, and the stars. The light of God, the light of Christ. The birth was on this wise. Why was Christ into the world? Let's dispel myths of religion. The 14th Psalm says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." We being Gentiles, that was the shape of our nature. That's where we were. That's what we are by our nature. Not only being sons of Adam, but also being strangers to the kingdom of God, strangers to the church of God, strangers to the gospel, strangers to the law, and all the things that God had given unto Judah and Israel. The Jews looked for a place to come, a king to come, and we'll get into that a little bit later if the Lord holds it on my mind. But the Gentiles were not looking for anything. They worshiped pagan gods, the work of their own hands. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's where we stood. That's where we stand by our nature today. Let's dispel the teachings of man. They are corrupt. We had corrupted our way upon the face of the earth. Every blessing that God had given us are corrupted. They have done abominable works. Everything that God told us not to do, we had done and do today. Things that are not just sin, but abomination before God, which were done in that day, which are done this day. There is none, not one, period. None, N-O-N-E. When we say all, it compasses every one in creation, from Adam, whom God created, and to every seed of a man and a woman since that time that's come together in procreation, whether they ever stepped foot in this world or they left in their mother's womb to the realm of glory above, they've all, none of us are good. We're all sin in the existence of God. He said, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men. When did God look down from heaven upon the children of men? Before the creation of the world. In the omniscience of God, in the foreknowledge of God. I'd rather use omniscience for the word, because that just teaches us that God knows everything. He foreknew everything. But when we speak of foreknowledge, we tend to try to speak of the love of God upon his people, upon the bride of Christ. But he said, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. When did this happen? According as he hath chosen us before him, in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before God the Father in love. According, he has predestinated us under the adoption of sons, according to the good pleasure of his own will, for the glory of Christ. God saw these things before the world was, before he ever created. God foreknew these things. That's why that covenant mentioned in Ephesians 1, 3, and 4 was made. This is the time Matthew is preaching to the Jews, the lost sheep of the house of Israel at that time. That day was here. That time had come. The fullness of the times. This is the gospel which we preach. Matthew preached that it was here. We preach that work is finished. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Not even one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge of God? We have a knowledge of God through the preaching of the gospel given to us through the work of the Holy Spirit, which brings in remembrance former things and teaches us of Christ. Who eat up my people's eat bread, they call not upon the Lord. There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. That's you today. That was the righteous in that day that God preserved, that God kept. You have shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that salvation, that the salvation, this is Christ, will come out of Zion, the church, the kingdom. Yes, out of Zion. Isaiah 66 states that Zion hath travailed and brought forth a son. That son is the Son of God. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a son is born, us the children of God, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Christ came into the world to suffer and bleed and die for our transgressions. Not just shortcomings, things we did not or could not attain, but our trespasses and our sins against the very God of heaven who is holy and righteous. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. Matthew is saying that day is here. The birth of Jesus Christ is on this wise. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Jacob represents by his name one who is a supplanter, a deceiver, a thief. God took him, wrestled with him. God changed him, touched the hollow of his thigh, changed the way he walked. God changed his name to Israel, which means a prince with God. This represents every elect child of God that God has in that covenant made between Father, Son, and Holy Ghost before the world ever was. Read the 15th Psalm. Understand when he says, those who shall abide in thy tabernacle, the church, in thy kingdom. He tells you who they are. They are those that walk in righteousness. Understand, coming to the New Testament, that it is God which worketh in you both to do and to will and to do of his good pleasure. Understand it's the work of God that you walk in righteousness. Understand that it's the work of God that you fulfill the things that are in Psalm 15, because God works that in you. The day is here, Matthew is saying. Isaiah 42, speaking of the Son of God, speaking of the Christ of God, speaking of the second person of the Godhead. Behold my servant. The Lord is called a servant. He is the servant of the Father. The Father gave him a people. He agreed in the covenant in eternity, never had a beginning, that he would die for that people. He would pay their sin debt, that he would bear their iniquities, that he would bear their sins. His body became sin for us. He was beaten beyond recognition. He was nailed to a cross, a tree, and suspended from the earth upon the cross. The law says, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Christ was cursed for our sake. He bore our punishment. This was fixed, brethren, before the world ever was. Behold my servant, whom I uphold. God the Father would uphold. We see Christ in the garden as he knelt and he prayed, and great drops of sweat dropped from his forehead as if blood. It was not blood. There was no salvation came out of Gethsemane, okay? The salvation came in the cross. There were great drops of sweat that came from his head. In great agony, he prayed. The man Christ Jesus, the God-man as he was called, prayed in anxiety, prayed in anguish, knowing what he was about to do. He was going to die upon the cross of Calvary, be betrayed by his own people into the hands of sinful men. And I dare say unto you, that was a greater sorrow upon his heart than were the nails in the whip. The psalm says, his heart melted within him. I do believe that the Lord died when he laid his life down from a broken heart, because he was betrayed by his own people. Behold my servant whom I uphold. God upheld him. Nonetheless, not my will, but thine be done. God said, whom I uphold. The man, not just the Son of God. The man had every emotion, every feeling of a man. He worked, he got tired, he got hungry, he got thirsty, he had love, he had anguish, okay? Mine elect. Some people try to bring this out that Christ is the only elect of God. If that's so, tell me what Ephesians 1 and 4 means. It's not just the apostles. Paul's not speaking to the apostles over there. He's speaking to every child of God in Ephesus and every child of God in Rome and every child of God who picks up the scripture by the grace of God to learn of him today. Elect before the foundation of the world. I have put my spirit. Oh, don't let me forget in whom my soul delighteth, for it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God loves us so much. It pleased him as the second person of the Godhead. It pleased him. This was his passion, Acts chapter 1 says. This was that pleased God the Father, that he came to this world and suffered and bled and died in great love and great agony for all the children of God. I have put my spirit upon him. He received the spirit in fullness. Why would God need the spirit? He's the second person of the Godhead. Because he is all man. We receive the spirit by measure. We cannot withstand the fullness of the spirit because we are sin. We are sinners. And he, being perfect and just with God, receive the Spirit in fullness. I put my Spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment, rule, governance to the Gentiles. Back to Isaiah 9:6. Talk about that governing for just a moment. For unto us a child is born, the Son of God. Unto us a son is given, the Son of God. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. This is not the government of man. God created it to be a terror to evil. We've corrupted that. We're as corrupt today as they were in Genesis 6 when God destroyed everything that had the breath of life in it except for those eight souls of the promised seed. The government shall be upon his shoulder. The government of the church. He is the one who sits upon the throne of David. He is the one that sits in judgment, ruling over the house of God. He is the one that God mentioned and intended when he told David that his seed would sit upon the throne forever. His name shall be called Wonderful, and that he is Counselor. He counsels us with peace. The Mighty God. You want proof Christ is God manifest in the flesh? For without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. He is the Mighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. The Everlasting Father. Let that sink in. The Godhead, three separate, yet three one. We may get into that in a little bit. The Prince of Peace, for he gives us peace which passeth understanding. Watch this. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's go to Daniel very quickly. If I can find it, I will read it. Chapter 2, there is a dream given. In that dream, this revelation is given that there would be a kingdom. He described here as an iron. In the days of these kings, 44 verse, chapter 2, Daniel. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. This is the church of God. It'll never be destroyed in this world. As much as it's hated, as much as it's despised, it will never be destroyed in this world. It will be somewhere in this world when Christ returns. It may be in another country. But I'll tell you this. People talk about the King James Bible. People talk about other versions, other perversions. They want it to be so they can know it better and understand it better. You want to understand it better? You want to know it better? Study it and pray. God, the Spirit of God, gives revelation. It's written. It's been here since 1611. Now you watch this, because God told Japheth that they would occupy the tents of Shem and they would flourish. Okay? Japheth is in the tents of Shem today. That's a representation of the church of God. What was the law is now grace. My point is, it was given to an English-speaking people in 1611, and it's still held to an English-speaking people as far as the King James Version. Where did that come from? England. This is the word that God gave without error, every jot and every tittle, given in perfection. And by the way, Christ would fulfill all of that. This kingdom shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. It shall stand forever. Daniel 7, you want to see where that got here? Verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Who is that? The Christ of God, the same one that walked with those Hebrew boys when they were thrown into the fire and they were not consumed. One like the Son of Man came the clouds of heaven. There's a cloud of witness. And came to the Ancient of Days. Was there not a cloud of witness when he was born into the world? Did not the multitude of the heavenly host gather there by the power of God to deliver the message that unto you at this day is born in the city of who? David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. The Ancient of Days is the Father. I want you to understand, reading this and put it with Micah 5:2, Christ never came to offer himself to us. He offered himself to the Father as a sacrifice for the sins of God. That's what Matthew's teaching in chapter 1. For the birth of Jesus Christ, our God and our King, is on this wise. And they brought him near before the Father, and it was given him dominion over all things, primarily also for our benefit, the church, and glory, the glory of God, and a kingdom, the church, that all people, Gentiles, nations, and languages should serve him. The elect of God from the four corners of the earth would serve him. It's not restricted to these Jews who corrupted themselves. It's not restricted to this Israel, which existed no more. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Gabriel, the angel, came to Mary, the city of Galilee, named Nazareth. She was a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Joseph's back over here. In Matthew, of the house of David. Let that sink in. Upon thy throne, his seed would always sit. His seed is Christ. Here's your proof. The angel said unto her, Hail thou that art highly favored. I would say so. But I will tell you this. The Romans try to make Mary a saint, and she is in the grace of God, but they try to make her one to worship, saying she was without sin. Mary herself said the Lord was her Savior, okay? She was a sinner, for we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. As blessed and favored as Mary was, she was still a sinner. Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, I would think so, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation would be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Sometimes we have more of God revealed to us. Sometimes we feel closer to God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. When God comes closer to us at times, when he reveals more of himself to us through Christ, at times, certainly we have fear. But we have this revelation, we have this knowledge, we have this comfort, we have this peace. We found favor with God. I cannot understand why God would love me. I cannot understand why God loved Jacob. He should have hated him like Esau. In the righteousness of God, as a man would think, as a man, flesh and blood would think, we should have all been hated. But God's ways are higher than our ways, as the heavens are above the earth. Found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, a name means Savior. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Fulfillment of the psalm. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. We've seen that prophesied. Then said Mary and the angels, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Let me dispel some heresies. People will tell you in the days of the flood there were giants in the earth because the angels left their estate and bred with women, and giants are born unto them. That is a lie. That's why they call it mythology. It's not true. The only time that was possible was when the Holy Spirit overshadowed, overpowered the Virgin Mary and she consumed, and the Christ child was conceived. Only God can mix flesh with spirit. Spirit with flesh. It's not possible by any other. She had to be a virgin. That way there was no inherited sin coming from Joseph unto Mary. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, before they're living together, before they're married, much unlike today, she was engaged, she was a spouse, she was promised. Very likely as it was in that day, as God did in eternity, parents would choose the marriage, parents would choose the man, parents would choose the woman, and they were espoused. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Back to Luke 3 and understand this. Luke 1, I'm sorry. You read that verse, and she goes to Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, whose God had put life in her barren womb. And I'm making a point I want to move from. Verse 56, Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and returned to her own house. Mary's been over here. She's conceived of the Holy Ghost. She's beginning to show. I'm not an expert on the gestation of women, but I know that a woman begins to show at about that time. It was evident that she was with child. Let that be assured in your heart as we read the scripture. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. I was going to preach on this somewhere last week. Never did. Studied it all week. How can man, a worm, dirt on the outside, dirt on the inside, how can man, a worm, be just with God? There's only one way. And that's in the blood of Christ. So when the scripture says Joseph was a just man, he's not just of the house of David. He's a child of God. He's born of the Spirit of God. That's manifested by the very thoughts that are going through his mind. He's striving to keep the law, but desiring to be merciful to this woman he's espoused to and loves. It's nothing more important, or should not be, to a man than his wife, his spouse, his bride. God died for his bride. Christ laid his life down for his bride. We should love that much. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost, and Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Let's explain that. Joseph was of the house of David. Joseph was, and he worshipped, I guess would be what I would say, in the law service. He had been taught of the law service. Joseph knew the law. I expect he went to the synagogue every Saturday Sabbath. People talk about the Sabbath. We don't have a Sabbath. We have a day of rest. But this is Sunday. This is the Lord's day. It's the day he came forth from the tomb, which is what he came into the world to do, was to suffer, bleed, and die, and God raised him up. Chapter 22 of Deuteronomy. Verse 13, this is under the law. Joseph is heavily dwelling on what God tells us to do in the law. Bear in mind the words of Christ and why this is here. Moses told you because of the hardness of your heart to divorce your wife. But in the beginning it was not so. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and be joined unto his wife. Okay? If any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her, that's just, to me, blows my mind how a man could hate the woman he's married to and loves, but that's the nature of flesh, and that's the influence of Satan. If any man take a wife and go into her and hate her and give occasions of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. In this text and the following in Deuteronomy 24, the word maid means virgin. The typical meaning of maid is a woman old enough to marry. This means a virgin. Man has not corrupted her womb as yet. I found her not a maid. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city. Bear in mind flesh. Bear in mind sin. Bear in mind that men lie. You want to see one of the things you find in today's age? Well, when they want to get a divorce, they say, he molested the children. A lot of times that's not true. I'm saying that to make the point that people lie to get what they want. God provided for that, a testimony under the law to prove that. The tokens of the damsel's virginity. In that day when people were married, it was that both would be a virgin. And when the two came together, the marriage would be consummated. There would be people not in the room with them, but there would be people there to bear witness of what was going on. And the token of her virginity would be the blood when she lost her virginity that was upon the cover, the blanket, whatever you wish to call it, sheepskin, that they lay on. That was the token of her virginity. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasion of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid. And yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. Here they are. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. You see, this was judgment under the law. The law is hard. If we're judged by the law, we have no hope. But you see, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, and grace was here. And the elders of the city shall take that man and chastise him. So immerse him in 100 shekels of silver, give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel. She shall be his wife. He may not put her away all his days. But if the thing be true and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die. In front of her father's house. They would shame her and her father and her family because she has wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. Some people want to follow the law today. I'm going to tell you this. God grants repentance for a reason. If God grants a child of God repentance, as far as I'm concerned, they have a place among us in the church. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And such were some of you, but you're washed, you're cleansed. Chapter 24, Deuteronomy. This is what Joseph is weighing in his mind. The public exposing of what by the flesh appeared to be, not knowing that she had conceived of the Spirit of God. This has not been done before. It was mentioned, Isaiah 7, but it had never been done, and it's not been done since. Let's read verse 20, chapter 24, a little of it. When a man has taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement. This is what the Pharisees would do. They'd take one, marry her, have their pleasure, write her a bill of divorcement, send her down the road and get another one. They were just as corrupt as they could be. And we're not far from that today in the organized religion of men. When a man taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, he writes her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand. He privately hands this to her and send her out of his house. There was no public humiliation. There was no stoning. This is a way of mercy pointing to grace, yes. And when she has departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. That's why the Lord told those people in that day the only just cause for divorce was if she'd committed fornication. There's not another justifiable reason in the eyes of God for a man and woman to divorce. Doesn't mean we don't do it. It doesn't condemn us to hell. We stand in grace. God forgives, but it makes things hard on us. If the latter husband hated her and write her bill of divorcement and give it to her hand and send it to her out of his house, or if the latter husband died, which took her to his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land, the church, to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. This is what Joseph is weighing in his mind. He's a just man. He knows what is commanded or taught in Deuteronomy 22. He's weighing it with Deuteronomy 24. I believe he loves this woman dearly and does not want to publicly humiliate her. I also believe he loves this woman so much he does not want to give her a writing of divorcement, for he has not yet done it. She's been gone 3 months, comes home. She's with child. He's weighing these things in his mind. He's thought about it so much, so heavy. He is asleep. You ever thought about something made you so tired you went to sleep? But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, here we go, thou son of David, right back to the throne of David. Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 1, he's telling Joseph, she's blessed of God, she's chosen of God, she's going to be the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, according to the flesh, when the Word would be made flesh and dwell among us, when the Christ would be born in the world, to suffer and bleed and die, to defeat death, and he that had the power over death, that is the devil. And she shall bring forth a son, Isaiah 9:6, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. John chapter 5, the name, no, Acts chapter 5:4, the name Jesus. Let's talk about the name Jesus. It means Savior. Peter is preaching to people. In verse 12 of chapter 4, he makes this statement, because you remember the Jews hated him without a cause. They rejected him as the Son of God. They justified themselves by being the sons of Abraham. How hypocritical. Neither is there salvation in any other. Let me back up. Verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel. That means at that day, Judah. It means today, all the elect of God. That by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Even by him does this man stand here before you whole. The lame man they'd heal going into the temple at the gate called Beautiful. This is the, I think, don't quote me on that beautiful part, I'd have to go back and look at it. No, that's where the man went into the water when the angel troubled the pool. Forgive me. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, the Jews, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name given among men that we must be saved. Now, chapter 5, as they had been imprisoned and the angel had came and opened the gate and released them, and they were told, the Pharisees and those, that these men you locked up are now down there in the temple preaching Christ. And it infuriated them. Did we not straightly command you should not teach in his name? Peter tells them, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel. The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Repentance for Israel and forgiveness of sins. Christ, and we are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Let's go on down to 13 of Acts. I'm going to skip through some of this because I've got to hurry. He tells them about David, because we're talking about sitting upon the throne of David. He talks about them crucifying Christ. Verse 28, Acts 13. They found no cause of death in him, Christ, yet desired that Pilate should, that he should be slain. Going back to the Psalm, they hated him without a cause. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, the things that were written in the scriptures, one of the last words that were said of our Lord in that body that he laid down before he died, is that the scriptures may be fulfilled. And he said, I thirst. They took him down from the tree. They laid him in a sepulcher. I love the but gods. They, I'm sure, thought they were accomplishing their task. But in killing him, the scripture says in 13 and 30 of Acts, but God raised him from the dead. God cannot die. God became man to suffer bleeding. God raised him from death. It was not possible that he should be holding of it. He was seen of many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are witnesses unto the people and preaching the gospel. We declare unto you glad tidings that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, that he hath raised up Jesus again. Is also written a second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That's not the day he was born, that's the day he came forth from the tomb, when the Sunday morning, when the sisters came down to the grave, to the tomb, to anoint him with spices that his body would not stink. But it's written that he would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. His body had not began to decay, and the angel had rolled the stone away, and he had come forth, for God had raised him up. This is the Christ. This is the Christ. That's the gospel which brings life and immortality to light. Doesn't give you life, it brings it to light. The Spirit of God gave you life through the sacrifice of the Son of God. She shall bring forth a son that shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. So many thoughts I don't have time to get to. Pray for me a minute. And she shall bring forth a son that shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I'd like to talk about election, because that's the only way God has a people. It's called the election of grace. Paul brings that out in Ephesians 3. Kept secret from the foundation of the world. Gentiles, chosen before the foundation of the world, now made manifest by the preaching of the gospel. His people, everyone the Father gave him. Isaiah says, I and the children which thou hast given me, Christ speaking to God, are for signs and wonders in Israel. You are for signs and wonders. The way God has saved you, the way God has touched you, the way God has moved you away from sin and toward righteousness and in righteousness. Just like Legion, the Lord told Legion, you go tell them how, not what, how God has saved you. Preaching the gospel. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. This is Ahaz, Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah says that his diet would be butter and honey. The things, the easy to digest, things that were given to a child to sustain life, to cause him to grow as a child in that day, the butter and the honey, liquid, comes from the Spirit, that were given to Christ, the man, the child, from the Father. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Now we'll go to John 5 for just a moment. Jesus had just come to an impotent man. He was lying there beside the water, a pool between the five porches. It's called Bethesda. At a certain time of the year, an angel would come down and trouble the water. And the first one who would step or get in the water, however you want to phrase it, would be healed of his infirmity. Now I heard Kenneth Clavinger use this one time, and I'm going to give him the credit. It's not my idea, but it's pretty. And I'm not Jonathan. If you can see something pretty, why not talk about it? Kenneth Clavinger, Elder Clavinger, Oklahoma, I think. Was back then. The angel that comes down, this is a picture of a minister who comes preaching, and he troubles the water by the preaching of the gospel. The deep waters of your soul. God's already given you life, okay? The gospel troubles the waters. The angel troubles the water, sent from God, and it heals your soul. The gospel heals us as we walk in it. Doesn't stay to heaven. But as we walk according to the gospel and love of God, love of the church, love of our wife and family, all those are first and foremost. Then we're healed. The church is healed. God doesn't need healing. He's the healer. And the family's healed. And society would be healed. I told you before, the first thing Satan attacked after the split of the church in the 1830s was the family. This man's laying there. The angel would come down and touch the water. There was a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Not 40 years. This is not judgment of God. He's in this shape. This is the result of our sinful nature and being. 38 years. He's been lame. Could not walk. Could not stand up. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The man says, "I have no man when the water is troubled to put me down in the water. Before I can get in, another man steppeth down before me." What did the Lord say? Disregarding the acts of the angel and the miraculous things God did there, for Christ is the worker of God. He said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And the man rose up and took up his bed and walked because Christ commanded him. That's why you get up and walk in the gospel today, because Christ has told you to arise and walk. Well, this infuriated the Jews because it's done on a Sabbath. Well, we justify ourselves by the law. You don't work on the Sabbath, but they would take the man going down the pool on Sabbath, wouldn't they? Hypocrisy, brethren. Study man's religion. Study the law. When a sinner tells you, you've got to keep the law, that something's amiss. We are saved by grace. So thereafter Jesus, and I said all that to make this point in verse 17, chapter 5. They said, "Why have you healed this man on the Sabbath day?" Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." This goes right back to Matthew 1. We'll get to it in a minute. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he'd not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making him equal with God. John 10. Equal with God, the Godhead, Emmanuel, God with us. For great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Chapter 10, the Good Shepherd chapter. And it was verse 22, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, I see the clock, and said unto him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. I told you, and you believe not." Why? Because the works that I do in my Father's name bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said. There is proof that everyone of God's Israel is not of the nation of Israel. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and know, and they know me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man plucked them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all." This is the man, Jesus Christ, talking. "And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Emmanuel, God with us. The Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father, okay? 1 John 5:7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Don't ask me to explain that. It's impossible. I hope we'll know more about it. We get to glory and see Him as He is. But speaking of myself, I don't know if I will ever fully understand that. I just believe it because the Scripture says it. "Behold, a virgin," back to Matthew 1:23, "shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden hidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Remember, Joseph was not his father, because that seed would have been corrupted. Joseph did not know his wife. We know what the Bible saying. He never lay with her until after the Christ child was born. There was no corruption in Christ. Perfect, good, and holy. I wanted to get into God, sanctifying him, as the law says the firstborn would be sanctified, every man and beast, but I don't have time. God sanctified him. He is holy and just. And we're talking about the man, Christ Jesus, who God anointed. His birth was on the wise.